shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, I think one of the reasons that it's enormous in New York is because...
You know, on this network, if you listen to this network, there's a lot of debate on MSNBC.
This is racist, man. Angry guy.
She's gay and everything.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where truth is our bitch. I mean, we will die trying, you know. And on this show, we take you through the looking glass of news, of truth, of information. And like that. Coming up, we've got Andy Levy from Red Eye. We also have Margaret Gray from wherever she's from. No, Margaret Gray is from...
She's from a Dicklin syndicate on... She writes the column every day.
Right. She writes a daily column. Is going to be with us next hour. Our website is philhendryshow.com, where you can go and watch us perform the show, a live streaming video of our show each and every night at philhendryshow.com. We have downloadable audio of every show the next day, so you can download it to your iPod and listen to the show if you missed the radio show. We have a start date for our new website rollout, which we'll give you when we give it to you. But we've finally been able to nail down exactly when we're going to roll out the new website. We'll have a news feed on there that you can join in, at least in terms of making comments on. And we're going to also involve you in how we roll out our archive material on our new site. So it's all going to be happening over there at philhendryshow.com. All right. This story, they tell me, has been getting all kinds of traction. Woman aims to become world's fattest. Now, this fat woman, she's an obese New York mother. She's trying to put on weight in order to become the Guinness Book of World Records fattest woman. But why does she want to become the world's fattest woman? Because we're in a recession and she needs the money. Now, Donna Simpson, she wears an XX, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7XL. A 7-extra-large dress, and she weighs 602 pounds, told the Daily Mail newspaper. Here you go, bud. You win. Here's your $5. She's British.
I knew it. I knew that. How'd
you know that, man? That's something.
Just the fattest one that there ever was. It's got to be from England.
I didn't. I never even. How did you know?
Just. I don't know. I just knew. Do you remember the show we were watching the last time about Larry the Fat Man?
Yeah, I saw that one fat man, but he's an American.
Yeah, but that one English lady.
Oh, I remember the Larry who laid in the bed all day long.
Right. Well, they had that one fat woman. I think this is it.
No, this ain't the same woman. How do you know it's the same woman?
Well, that fat lady that had on that show has come from England, too.
Well, it doesn't mean. Do you think they got one fat woman over there? They probably, where there's one, they got probably got two.
Boy, that's the truth. You said a mouthful there.
Well, anyway, Donna Simpson, she wears a 7X large dress, weighs 602 pounds. She told the Daily Mail newspaper she had her heart set on reaching her goal weight of 1,000 pounds in 2 years, but now she realizes her heart's probably going to give out. No, she didn't say that.
I was going to say, that must be a joke.
Yes, that's a joke. She had her heart set on 1,000 pounds in 2 years, huh? The 42-year-old already holds the title of the world's fattest mother after giving birth to her daughter in 2007 when she weighed 531 pounds. Well, look, it sounds disgusting, I'm sure, to all of you, but she's trying to make this Guinness Book of Records because I think there's money involved. I think she also has a website where people pay to watch her bop up and down, just watch her big fat ass going up and down, like jumping, doing jumping jacks and crap like that.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding at all. So let's listen, shall we? Let's listen to this fat woman, shall we? Well, actually, she was talking to a local Fox affiliate in New Jersey. Oh, no, she's not British. She's from New Jersey.
But what's the Daily Mail?
The Daily Mail's a British newspaper. So the Daily Mail, they have great interest in our fat women. Does that make you jealous, Robert?
Yeah. Well, why do they get their eyes on our women?
I don't know. Anyway, the British, just keep your hands off of our fat ladies, okay? Just, you know, back it off.
Yeah, back it way down.
Back it way down, man. Okay? There are fat women. Not yours, ours. We know how much you like them over there. Anyway, talking to a local Fox affiliate in New Jersey, Donna Simpson describes how her fans are helping her reach her goal of 1,000 pounds.
I have one of the largest bellies around on the website, so that's why they wanted me to be on it. Also have videos of me in motion.
Be on what?
Because they like to see me in motion and see how my fat jiggles and moves. They're paying to see me because they adore it just as they would a woman of normal size. So they send me cakes and they send me baklava and McDonald's gift certificates and anything just to try to make that goal happen.
And what about
she's gay and everything.
And they also watch her
crotch grab
when she's on the, but it's going to cost you $6.95. So although our website's $6.95 and it's a consistent $6.95 a month, you're getting us here on the air doing our thing, going through the our daily ablutions, going through our insanity. And you can see it, man, and there's no fat that's wiggling around, although on a good night, who knows? Donna, honey, I don't know what to say to you other than the fact that, if you can make yourself a nice piece of change being a 1,000 pounds tub of guts that you can pass on to your kids just before you collapse from a stroke in a parking garage somewhere, then I say go for it. All right, U.S. military goal still to capture bin Laden. This is a riot. This is beautiful, man. I mean, this is the biggest
crotch grab
that I have seen in years. Here we got Eric Holder sitting there in front of the United States Senate saying that there's no way in hell that bin Laden's going to get caught alive. He is going to be dead. Either we'll smoke him or his own people will do it so that we don't capture him. And then the next day, our general there in Iraq, General, whatever the hell, McChrystal said, sure, we want to catch the guy alive. So the Attorney General of the U.S. and the United States Army, here's a guy that's running the Justice Department, Eric Holder. I got to tell you something. The problems that President Obama are having, and I don't celebrate them. I don't celebrate the fact that this man, who I think is a good man, and I think he's going to be overall seen as a man who meant well for this country, tried to do his best. I know that people don't dig him because they think he's a commie. What are you going to say? I mean, how do you even argue with an idiot like that, right? How do you argue with an imbecile that calls Obama a communist? This is an imbecile that's talking, right? Anybody that says he's a socialist, this is an idiot that's talking. An idiot. We've talked on this program many, 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 many hours about why it is Obama had the associations that he had, why it is that he traveled in the circle of friends that he traveled in, why it is he connected with the kinds of people that he connected with. We tried to make the point that when you're a black man running for president of the United States, as much as many people would like to think that it's no different than being a white man running for president, it is different. You don't have people running up to you and offering you big wheelbarrows full of money. Yeah, man, I got to get behind you. You got a real shot. Nobody's coming up to you and saying, oh, well, now, looky here. This is the golden child. Let's go ahead and start shoveling money in his direction. They take one look at your black face, and they're going to say, you know, you may be a great guy and a great thinker and a great politician. Forget it, man. It isn't going to happen. So what do you say back? You say the phone. You say, watch me. Watch me. If you don't think it'll happen, I'm telling you I can do it. I need some people. I need some money. I need some backers. So you go all kinds of places looking for that money. And when some of your fine-feathered friends in the media get a hold of that, well, look at who he's been talking to, and look at who he broke bread with over here. Now, try to explain that in the inimitable words of Anthony Hopkins as Richard Nixon in Nixon. Try explaining that to a bunch of teary-eyed mothers. He was being sarcastic. In the film, Anthony Hopkins playing Richard Nixon was being sarcastic, talking about the American people as being just a bunch of weepy-eyed mothers who would never understand the high art of politics. And to be honest with you, folks, it is kind of true. I mean, we are like little babes when it comes to the reality of what's going on. We think we know. The way we think of these things is we think, oh, there's a conspiracy, see? There's a guy. No, it's not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. It's right out under your nose. That's the thing that's so sad about it. There's nothing conspiratorial about a guy who is black going places to raise money or to connect with other people who may be able to raise him money so he can run for president of the United States. There's nothing conspiratorial about that. He's right out in the open. Oh, you went and you had dinner with this guy, William Ayers, that ass, huh? Yeah, I did. Well, now, how about that, huh? Well, you know, I mean, I ain't hiding it, man. It's right there. It's public record. So he became president of the United States after running that gauntlet. And to become president of the United States, you got to run a little bit of a gauntlet. You got to do a dog and pony show, man. And either you're doing a dog and pony show for the rich oil guys in Texas, or you're doing a dog and pony show for some land barons out west, or you're doing a dog and pony show for the intelligentsia back east. But you got to stand there and you got to put on a show for the people that are going to give you the money that it's going to take to become president of the United States. And to infer anything from the people that you are, you know, from the kinds of relationships that you're developing as you are making your way up the ladder of power, to infer automatically that you happen to share philosophy with those people is to make a pretty big mistake. It's to make a rather, to be honest with you, it's a rather childish mistake to make. It's not a very sophisticated way of looking at how these things are done. Well, one of the things he had to do, he had to suck up to the far left wing of his party. A lot of people think Obama is far left. No, he's not. No, he's not. Oh, Henry, you can look at his voting record. It depends on what you call far left. Personally speaking, folks, and I don't mean to speak for anybody else, being pro-choice ain't far left. You may think it is, but it's not. And wanting health care on a national scale, a national approach to health care, that's not far left either. That happens to be, I hate to break the news, that happens to be the norm in a great many industrialized countries. It's not necessarily far weird, wacko, kooky, far out left-leaning thinking. It's pretty mainstream. In America it is, but in America, you know, you're walking around in certain kind of bikini or bathing suit, man, you are looking like something out of a, you know, out of some Danish porno. I mean, in this country, anything that is just this side of a polka dot bikini is way out there. Because we're the Puritans, right? We are the descendants of the Puritans. So Obama comes along, and he's got to kiss ass to these lefties, these progressives, these anti-Bushes, these anti-Iraq wars, these anti-Afghanistan wars, these anti-everybody. He's got to suck up a little bit. So what's he got to say? All right, we'll close down Gitmo. What the hell? What's that going to take? That can't be anything, right? Closing down Gitmo. That's got to be the easiest damn thing in the world. And, we'll have civilian trials. What's the big deal to have the civilian trial? I got a sharp boy here, Eric Holder. He's going to figure the whole thing out, okay? And the Patriot Act, sure, yeah, we'll put the kibosh on the Patriot Act. Well, guess what, man? Just like we said before the election, when he sits down at that desk in that Oval Office, he takes a look at that inbox, brother, he's going to change his mind a lot on a lot of things. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm very happy to say we reported that on this show. So guess where he is today? Extend the Patriot Act. Let's have some military tribunals. Let's forget about whether or not, you know, we're pulling out of Iraq in 18 months, 10 months, 11 months. We're going to do what we got to do for as long as it takes. Now, guess what? After George Bush said, dead or alive, and everybody was dumping all over him for that, all of these brain surgeons, guess what the Attorney General for President Obama said in front of the United States Senate? Bin Laden will never be taken alive. We'll kill him, or his own people will kill him. There's only one problem with that. He didn't tell the general in Iraq, McChrystal. McChrystal said, no, we're still trying to capture him. In other words, what's happening here is that President Obama is running up against the same He's running up against the same cynics, the same skeptics. He's running up against the same people that don't want him to do well at all that President Bush ran up against. He is, in other words, reaping a whirlwind that other people sowed for him. He is reaping the whirlwind that was sowed by these jackballs back when Bush was president, who wanted him put up on war crimes charges, who wanted Bush impeached, who wanted, you know, you talk about Hitler, man. Don't give me this bull crap. You, Schultz, what are you, stupid, man, or do you just work at MSNBC? Which is it? Oh, you mean both? I have never seen any pictures of George Bush compared to Hitler. Really? You could paper the inside of the New York Museum of Metropolitan Art with the pictures of George Bush as Hitler that people were carrying around. So, you know, Obama is Hitler. And so it goes. So it goes, man. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And coming up, environmental concerns. You know how people care about the environment, how we're really sweating the environment, how we're, you know, I mean, let's face it, man, global warming, right? Environmental concerns, they're at a 20-year low. That's how much we're sweating it. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here's a flashback from yesterday. This is Holder. He's talking about Osama bin Laden. And you know, when I was watching, the Attorney General said, now, what is this guy saying that they'll never catch him alive? Now, the question was, are you going to put him on trial civilian, or are you going to put him on trial military? He didn't want to answer the question at all, you know. We'll just answer the question. Well, it's just, it's a ridiculous supposition, and I don't even want to. Well, all right, let's just say, no, it'll never happen, I'm telling you. So I'm thinking, why is he avoiding answering that question? I mean, I realize but it's really not his call. I mean, answer the question, man, and we'll decide whether it's an asinine question or not, if you don't mind. And they let him get away with it. Probably because they knew Holder wanted originally to put bin Laden on trial in a civilian courtroom, right? And of course, today, that looks about as bright as oh, I don't know, shredding the Patriot Act looks about as bright as shutting down Gitmo. In other words, it don't look bright at all. Well, the cat was stuck because all of this stuff that everybody was saying, oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, baby. It's as plain as the nose on your face what's got to be done. Why, look at all of these. Look at what these guys have been doing, man. Can you believe this? I mean, this guy Bush will go down in history as the worst president. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just saw where Fraulein Huffington, man, she just had this guy. She actually gave this guy prime time, this Gonzalez, right? He's a writer. He's a Texan. Very conservative guy, man. The guy was ripping the New York Times a new ass. He was ripping the New York Times a brand spanking new ass. And Huffington gave him, she gave him front page coverage, man. Because she suddenly realizes, man, she don't know where the bread, where the butter begins and the bread ends, man. She's like, and that, how's that book of yours doing there, Fraulein, on how the Constitution got shredded up one side and down the next? Guess what? President Obama has decided to extend the Patriot Act, and I applaud him for that. You want to know why? He's not an idiot. That's why. He's not an idiot. Because, to be honest with you, most Americans, if he said, we're going to end the Patriot Act, most Americans wouldn't know the Patriot Act, man, from the Kleenex that they're blowing their nose on. They're, well, I don't know. You know, it sounds pretty far out. I mean, haven't we got the FBI? You know, they don't know. He could have taken that Patriot Act and wiped with it, and nobody would have given a damn. All the American people care about is making sure that we get bad guys and we throw them in a cage, right? But because he's the president of the United States, he's the commander-in-chief, and his job is to keep the American people safe, he took one look at the Patriot Act and said, I can't do without this, man. I need this. I got to have this, and we're going to extend it. Here's Holder talking in front of the Senate about something only he can figure out.
Osama bin Laden, the right to appear in a U.S. courtroom, you are clothing Osama bin Laden with the protections of the U.S. Constitution. That's unavoidable and something that you've skipped right past.
Let's deal with
and it's
reality.
Giving constitutional rights to enemy soldiers that is the profound problem, sir.
I mean, we're talking about a hypothetical that will never occur. The reality is that we will be reading Miranda rights to the corpse of Osama bin Laden. He will never appear in an American courtroom.
But it is...
That's a reality. That's a reality.
You know, when Bush said dead or alive, he was a bad guy, man. He was an assassin. He was an assassin. He was a right-wing banana republic hit squad kind of a guy. When Bush said dead or alive, he was a cowboy. Now we got the Attorney General of the United States who cannot answer the question straight. He has to say the only thing he can fall back on was, he's a dead man. Well, what does that mean, man? We're going to kill him? Because I think that's what you said. And if we do, That's a little bit more that cowboy diplomacy. Now, I know it isn't diplomacy per se, but the fact is it was something that the critics of Bush seized upon and said, this is an example of a man who, you know, a president run amok. Well, guess what, Holder? You're sitting there and you can't find your ass with both hands. So your fallback, Leia, I think we're going to waste him. And if we don't, his own people will. And that's fine with me, because as long as they don't call me in to identify the body. All right, coming up, we got Andy Levy from Fox News' Red Eye here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray coming up next hour talking about the health care plan and Green Zone. You know the movie about Iraq? It sucks. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, and we got Margaret Gray coming up the top of the hour, and don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. And like that. And with us now from Fox News Channel's Red Eye is Andy Levy in New York this evening. We're huge fans of the show, and we're particularly grateful to have Andy with us because he gets, you know, he's like the omnibudsman. If you guys watch the show, and I know you do, Greg gets all the big face time. Andy is there basically being funny, and then Greg fills up the rest of the time with something. Andy, how are you doing? I'm kidding, of course, about Greg, sort of.
Oh, I took you completely seriously.
Well, you know, that's, you see, dude, you're funny, man, because you know, you find your moment and you score big. You know, you have those few minutes and then you bang, you hit it, you know. Greg can sort of vamp and he has other people there sitting with him. I want to ask you, Andy, before we go any further, you're the omnibudsman, and please explain to people what that is exactly.
Well, it's ombudsman and,
ombudsman.
I sort of am. An ombudsman is someone that... Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm choking. Go ahead.
Okay. An ombudsman is someone who's sort of... I should preface by saying I'm not really an ombudsman, but ombudsman is someone who works for, like, a newspaper or a media outlet and basically serves as the viewer or reader's representative and...
Right.
Point out mistakes that have been made, et cetera, sort of like what I just did with you.
What you did with me, right.
Yeah. So that's
I want to let people know a little bit about you, though, Andy, because before you joined Red Eye, I mean, you know, you've had a life and you've... it says here that you're a noted libertarian. Is that, like, serious or is that a joke, too?
I'm a libertarian. I don't know if anyone's ever taken note of me, but I am a libertarian politically.
Andy has a bachelor's degree in political science. I mean, that should be obvious. He's a pretty smart guy. A veteran of the United States Army. You were in the 31K combat signal thing that I don't know what that means. It sounds pretty cool. That's a communication thing, though, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it was basically, I think it's gone now as an MOS, a military occupational specialty. We used to be called wire dogs. The old 31 kilos would run wire in the field to hook up radio telephones so people could talk. I think they I think they completely phased it out now, but what I basically did was operated a lot of radios sometimes when I was in Korea, me and the other guy on my team, we would take a Humvee when the unit rolled out to the field, and we would drive up one of the biggest hills we could find and rig up a really huge antenna and basically extend the range that the battalion could talk to each other, and then we'd sit up there for like a week or two and hope everything was running well, and I brought like 30 books with me, and it was really, really, really exciting.
Okay. And Andy also worked in Hollywood for 10 years. We'll blow past that. And he also, you were in Hollywood doing stuff. You were a publicist, and you were something else and something else. You were an executive with the Directors Guild. And you also play keyboard. You did play keyboards for a. Did you write this bio, man? Because this goes on forever about some cover band you were in. And
I was in a non-cover band named Dalton Grant. Dalton was the singer-songwriter. I played keyboards. I did that for three years. And I was also some of us from the band and some others were in the self-proclaimed world's greatest cover band, Sweet 69.
There you go. Okay. Well, anyway, man, I'm really happy to have you with us. And I've been on Red Eye a couple times, and the guys are always very kind. And you guys look like you have such a good time. And I think I want to ask you about just my theory that you're having such a great time because you do the only kind of show. You're doing the only show of its kind, I should say, on television, man. I mean, you're there every night having a ball, taking these serious shots at all the lefties, and which has not been done. Quite frankly, it hasn't been done on any cable news network ever until you cats came along. How did you guys think of, Andy, I don't know if you were in the initial planning stages of Red Eye, but what did you guys say to each other when you were putting the show together, how you wanted the show to roll out? It's not a mean show. It's a very funny show, but you guys take some pretty good shots, too.
Yeah, I think, well, Bill, Greg, and I were all there at the start. Fox basically approached Greg. He was living in London at the time. He was the editor of Maxim UK magazine.
Okay.
And they approached him about doing a really, really late night show. And, you know, so he and I had a bunch of conversations about what maybe the show would look like. And we always sort of touched on a couple of things like the early Letterman, Pee-wee's yeah. Playhouse, just stuff that was a little stuff that was a little surreal, and we wanted to try to see if we could meld that with what looked like a traditional talking head panel show, and sort of in a way subvert that form. You know, from the looks of it, if you had the sound off and you just saw a shot of the set, it's four or five people sitting around a table talking about things, which you see on a bunch.
Well,
of
that's true,
shows,
man. But I have to say that, and we do watch it with the sound off because I'm doing a radio show. But you guys are right there in front of me, and you've always got some really beautiful blonde or brunette or redhead or some woman, you know, who is wearing some sort of an outfit that I'm sure you've picked out. That you don't have to have the sound turned up, man. You know, Ralph and I are constantly commenting on, okay, who is this blonde that they have on tonight? Hey, Andy, you guys, though, like I said, you cats are the only, I mean, I don't know why this is, because I would not necessarily call myself a conservative. I voted for Barack Obama, but you cats are consistently funny, and the liberal shows, and maybe it's because they're taking shots at things that I don't particularly think are funny, I don't think even rise to the level of funny that you guys achieve. I'm being very serious. I know that Colbert and I know that Stewart get all the accolades, and you guys don't. I don't know why. Is it the obvious, man? Is it because you're on Fox?
Well, it's two things. It's one, we're on Fox News, so we get no attention whatsoever from the sort of the entertainment press that does watch Stewart and Colbert, both of whom I like a lot. The thing, and the other thing is we're on at 3 a.m. on the East Coast.
Well, you see, it never occurs to me. Yeah.
Yeah, we can,
of course.
We can pull better, you know, we can pull higher numbers than CNN's primetime lineup in the 25 to 54 demographic, but no one's going to talk about us the way they talk about Anderson Cooper or Larry King, even if our numbers are better. I was just going to say, as far as the funny thing goes, I think one thing that me, Greg, and Greg Bill and I always talked about was you have to be funny first and political or ideological second. And the mistake a lot of people make is they want to push a point of view and then they want to write jokes to that point of view. And I don't think that works. You know, I think Jon Stewart's at his best when he's skewering things that are silly, not when he's pushing his point of view and then being funny on top of that.
I was going to say, Andy, one of the funniest things that Stewart did recently was he was riffing on Rick Sanchez at a party on Coke. Like, I don't know if you saw it. It was very funny, man. You know, and of course that's CNN, and people would think that maybe this cat would be, you know, kinder to CNN. I agree with you. You know, when they're political, but I think it's refreshing to hear a show riff on Matt Damon like you cats did the other night. The Green Zone movie, sucks. I mean, you guys had the film critic on. I mean, the thing just, it's so begging to be ripped, you know. But, I mean, Matt Damon gets ripped all the time. So, I mean, is he the gift that just keeps on giving? Or, you know, he hides.
Yeah, I actually don't. I like Matt Damon in some movies. I think he's really good. I haven't seen Green Zone. I kind of want to because I hate bagging on things without having seen them. Mm-hmm. But by all accounts, or by most accounts anyway, it's just viciously, viciously anti-American. And mm-hmm. That rubs me the wrong way. But the thing about our show is you've got, I'm a libertarian. Greg is, he's a conservative, but he's a libertarian conservative. And Bill is fairly moderate to liberal. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that works for us is we don't, you know, you've got the three guys who are writing the show and putting the show together, and we have different thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that helps a lot.
Well, I mean, Bill is, I think his the fact that he's a liberal you guys keep him honest. And when there's a good interchange and it's a friendly interchange that you guys have, everybody's going to be honest as opposed to, sort of protecting a turf because he's a part of a team. He wants to make the show work. I wanted to ask you, man, about some stuff that's happening in the news, starting with, I just want to get your view, you know, because I just said to you something. You know, I did vote for Obama. I do want the guy to do well, but I also recognize how, and I was a George Bush fan, you know, which really blows a lot of people's minds when I say that, but
right.
I see him extending the Patriot Act, man, like we were talking about. I see him extending the Patriot Act. I see him wanting to keep Guantanamo open and have military tribunals. I see Holder waffling when they talk about Osama bin Laden. So do you think Obama is a socialist, an ideologue? Do you think that, what's your take on this cat, you guys on the show? Forget about the liberals. This man, Obama, do you think he's well served by the idiots around him? Do you think he himself is blowing it? What do you guys feel about the president himself?
I just, you know, speaking for myself, I think he's finding out that the world is different than he thought it was. And,
right.
You know, I think when you become president, you're privy to a lot of things that you're not when you're running for president. And so it was easy for him to take shots at George Bush and to say that that certain things were wrong. And then I think as soon as you become president and the secrets become yours, you realize, right. You know, it's sort of like, holy crap, this guy had a much tougher job than I thought. And guess what? Some of the things he was doing were actually necessary. So I think there was an article the other day that the Obama administration in its first 9 months had squelched more Freedom of Information Act request. It was almost twice as many as Bush squelched in his last year in office.
There's something very funny about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you can sit there. It's a lot easier to run for president than it is to be president, is I think the bottom line.
Speaking of black people, Rance wanted me to know, is there any other black guy on your show besides Mark Lamont Hill? And secondly... he's a great, I like Mark a lot. We had him on our show. He's a very intelligent man, Dr. Hill. He's super liberal, but you cats just seem to love him. And I know why I like him. Why do you guys love to have him back all the time?
I'll tell you why I love him, because he is self-deprecating. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of people, ideologues in general tend not to be self-deprecating. They're too full mm-hmm. of importance and too full of I'm right and you're wrong, and they can't joke about it or look at it from another point of view. I think that's more prevalent these days on the left than it is on the right. I think the left, a lot of the left has become really humorless, and, you know, they're fine with taking shots at other people, but you can't joke around with them because they're on a mission. And he's not like that at all. You know, I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but that's fine. He's a smart guy, and he's perfectly willing. You can joke with him, and, you know, we can call him names, and he can call us names, and then we can all go out for a drink afterwards. And he's one of my favorite guests on the show. I love having him on. Also, I like the idea of having liberals on the show. You know, that's one thing I think we're trying to do more of that, and I think it might piss off some hardcore fans, but that's you know, that's life.
I
think the show is better when you have a bunch of different perspectives, especially when it's people, like I said, that can joke about things.
Greg Proop, is it? How do you pronounce that guy's name? I was on a panel Proop? With him once. Yeah, Proop. Yeah. Proops. Yeah, you know, he's been on your show 3-4 times. I know he's a liberal. The sound is always down, man, because I'm always on the air when you guys are on. I mean, it's not always down, but it seemed to be when he was on, I'm doing a thing. But I'm looking up. He never is smiling. And I'm thinking, well, I bet you they're really zinging him. Or is that just part of his style, man? He's just kind of got a sour look on his face. Cause...
Yeah, I think that's his style. He's a great guy. He's another one of my favorite guests. We've had him on a lot more than 3 or 4 times. He's been on a whole bunch of times, and we've hung out. And he's a fantastic guy, super, super smart, and incredibly funny. And he was one of the first, I think early in the show, he was like one of the first guys that I had known of before the show that saw the show and was like, what the hell is this? And wanted to be on it.
Cool.
And
that's
so
cool.
I'll always love him for that.
Yeah. When they, especially when you're starting out, you need that kind of love. Okay, we're going to be back with Andy Levy from Red Eye, you guys, in just a moment. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, Margaret Gray coming up here, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're back with Andy Levy from Fox News Channel's Red Eye. We watch the show as much as we can. We have it on. And Andy, I think I mentioned to you guys one night when you were good enough to have me on your show that you cats are competing against nothing, man. I'm serious. It's either Anderson Cooper and whoever he's adopting in Haiti, or it's Sanjay Gupta, you know, pulling somebody out of a body bag, and then there's you cats. Or it's a rerun of Chris Matthews who's apoplectic about something, you know. So there is really there's no competition out there for what you guys are doing, which is, thank God, at the end of a long day, you know.
On the news channels, anyway. I mean, out in L.A. or, you know, where you guys are, there's obviously it's midnight, so you've got Letterman and Leno and stuff like that. But at 3 a.m.
we don't have anything, man. We got about as much as they have in Omaha. Yeah, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Andy, I want to ask you a couple questions, man. I think this is a good question, because you worked in Hollywood for a number of years. This girl, Gabby Sabide, I guess is how you pronounce her last name. I apologize if I'm not. Now, it was noted by one columnist, the San Francisco Chronicle, said that it isn't that she's too fat, she's too black. And she is pretty. That is kind of a valid thing, isn't it, man? A black person with really, really black skin.
What does that mean?
That black people with really dark skin, really black, you know, like deepest, darkest Africa type skin, look more savage or look just, you know, more black. I don't know.
Well, I don't see color, Phil, but I do see weight.
Yeah.
And she's fat.
Okay. You're not weight blind. All right.
No, wait, I do see.
Okay. Simon Cowell, man, leaving Fox, American Idol. I love him because he says what more people should say to kids that are coming to Hollywood or going anywhere to be entertainers. You suck. Please find something else to do. We could probably use better doctors, engineers, mathematicians. You can't dance. You can't sing. Go away, you know. What do you think about that, man? I mean, is there anybody? He's not funny. He's honest, you know?
Well, first of all, that sounds like a lot of tweets I get. But I have never seen an episode of American Idol in my life.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't watch. I don't like the reality shows. I don't have anything against them. I'm not snobby about it. I just. They don't do anything for me. I think it's because for the last 3 years, I've kind of been living a reality show life with being on TV, which is something I had never anticipated or looked for. So I've never been into the reality things. And the other thing is, I really like music, and I can't stand bad music. So I can't watch American Idol.
I hear you, man. I go, okay. I have to watch these things because I do a radio show, and I'm expected to not only to watch it, but to understand it and be opinionated about it. You know, to like Susan Boyle. Do you think, Phil, it was oxygen deprivation, or is she? Anyway, I should ask you this. You're a Jew in New York. How do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? No, seriously, what is the?
You go to the Carnegie. You get corned beef from the Carnegie Deli. How else?
There it is. Yeah. Hey, dude, what do you make of the birther movement? Or seriously, what do you make of the birther movement or the Tea Party? Take one. Pick one. I don't care which.
I can't stand the birthers. I wish they would all just shut the hell up.
Die.
Well, I'm not going to say that because then I'll, you know, it'll look bad for me. But I'll just say I wish they would shut up. I mean, look, right. it's stupid. It's stupid, and B, it's counterproductive. It's just you're making people who don't agree with you on that, but who may agree with you on other things. You're tainting them.
Just hate you. Yeah, yeah. They're going to hate you for everything now. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I can't.
You can't live with that. And now I've got you thinking about it, man. You may be thinking about it all the way through tomorrow night's show. Listen, brother, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it. Andy Levy, folks, from Red Eye. Margaret Gray is next on the world famous Phil Henry Show. See you later, brother.
Phil Henry.